1 Corinthians reminds us that the message of the cross is the power of God. In his letter to Timothy, Paul urges that requests, prayers, and intercession be made for everyone so that we can live peaceful lives in all godliness and holiness. Praying for others is good, and it pleases God, our Savior. The best gift we can offer to one another is to pray. And when we look around us, there are many opportunities of great need. We think of Paris and the heartbreaking series of terrorist attacks. We think of Syria and the turmoil of fearing for your life and not knowing what lies ahead. A family member who's unwell, a friend who's in a difficult relationship, or even praying for the lives and the future of our children. So why can you and I step forth in confidence in praying for others? It's who we know. Some of you may have heard this story before. It was during the American Civil War, and due to a family tragedy, a soldier had been granted permission to seek an audience with the president. He wanted to request exemption from the military service. So he got to the White House, but he was denied entry. Dejected, he went and sat in a nearby park. A little later, a little boy approached him and remarked on how unhappy he looked. The soldier found himself telling the little boy everything that had happened. The little boy turned to the soldier and said, "Come with me." And he led him to the White House. They went around the back. The guards didn't stop them. Even the high-ranking government officials stood to attention and let them pass. The little boy marched straight to the presidential office and walked in without knocking. Abraham Lincoln was talking to the Secretary of State, and he turned around and asked, "What can I do for you, Tad?" Little Tad said, "Dad, this soldier needs to talk to you." The soldier had access to the president through his son. And in an even more amazing way, you and I have access to God the Father through his son. Paul writes in Ephesians, "Through him we have access to the Father by the one Spirit." In 1 Timothy, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Praying for others is easy for some, while for the rest of us, it can feel somewhat unnerving and challenging. But how can we make praying for others a part of our everyday lives? Pray for others not just as part of your dedicated prayer time once a day, in the morning or at night, but pray for others whenever you think of them, in the car or on the bus or the train to work, during your lunch break or while doing chores. The best role model is Jesus, and our best guide is the Word of God. Turning to our Bible passage for today in Mark chapter 8, I think it was page 1012, the context is of Jesus' continued ministry. The feeding of the 4,000. The Pharisees asking Jesus for a sign. Jesus' warning on wrong teaching and healing. In the passage that David read for us today, Jesus heals a blind man in Bethsaida. I continue to get amazed by how the Word of God works. It's alive, it's active, and even though I've read this passage numerous times before, it came alive to me in a whole new way as I sat down to prepare for this morning. I believe Jesus is drawing our attention to some of the key principles or the attributes in praying for others. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. They came to Bethsaida, And some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Brought and begged. Why did they do that? What did they believe about Jesus? What do we believe about Jesus? The starting point, it's who we know. He is the high priest. He is our Redeemer God. He is our healer. And it is about our faith and our confidence in him. I don't know about you, but I find that very reassuring. Because it's not about us being capable of bringing about a change in people's circumstances. But it's about us being able to bring the person and their situation to God. And he does the rest. This verse calls us to action. To bring and to ask of him. We have a great ethos of prayer here at St. Stephen's. Even as I look around the room, I can see some amazing prayer warriors. We pray before the service. Intercession is an important part of our worship. We offer prayer ministry during communion time. And we also have access to a prayer chain. We share of our lives and we pray for one another. So often I've been in the middle of a conversation with one of you and you've stopped there and then to pray about a need, to pray about something we want to thank God for. This comes from our confidence in God our Father, the one who holds our every tomorrow. And like Jesus asked later in this chapter, who do you and I say he is? Will we come to the Father in confidence and intercede for that family member, for that friend, for that colleague, the terrified citizens of Paris, or even the families of the attackers, like Omar Ismail Mustafai? Verse 23, he took the blind man by the hand. We can already see the significance of being intentional in praying for others to take by the hand. How many times have Caroline or Steve or Andrew taken you by the hand and prayed with you when you've shared a need or a burden with them? How many times have you done that with someone else? One of the most recent times that I experienced intentionality in prayer is when I was in the throes of a really bad chest infection and an asthma attack. Jonas had been away for 10 days in India, and I'm pretty sure he missed us. But he felt even worse because I was quite unwell. And that night while we were praying, he took me in his arms, and he prayed such a powerful prayer from the bottom of his heart that the next morning I felt a more tangible difference than I had experienced even after a course of antibiotics and another course of steroids. Continuing in verse 23, and led him outside the village. While several Bible commentators have put forth several reasons for why Jesus led the man outside of Bethsaida, including one that says the people of Bethsaida failed to repent even though they had seen spectacular miracles at the hand of Jesus. But the one I'd like to stick with today is the explanation that Jesus did that to avoid publicity. Jesus makes reference to this again when at the end of the passage he tells the man not to go and tell anyone in the village. Apart from praying quite visibly and intentionally during prayer ministry or otherwise, Jesus calls us to pray in the quiet of our hearts and the privacy of our homes. Prayer includes an element of sensitivity and keeping things personal between you and God and the person you are praying for. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him. Jesus had a very tactile way of approaching people and being an instrument of love and peace and healing. The Bible makes several references to the laying on of hands. During prayer ministry, we place a hand on the person's shoulder, with their permission, of course. If someone approached us for a physical need or for healing of the body, I'm sure it wouldn't go down too well if we offered to put saliva on the affected part. But why did Jesus use saliva? One possible reason is, in that day and age, Roman writers, Jewish rabbis, believed in the healing properties of saliva, particularly in relation to blindness. And even though Jesus turned the world upside down with his life-changing works, he stuck to some tradition. So he used saliva to communicate his intention to heal. Reading on from verse 23, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Why did Jesus touch the man a second time before he could see? This miracle was not too difficult for Jesus, but it's probably because he wanted to teach his disciples that some healing can be gradual and not instantaneous. The other bit being that spiritual healing, spiritual sight, is not always clearly perceived at first. Most scholars believe that Jesus is teaching his disciples about faith. After Jesus touched the blind man the first time, he could see, but not clearly. This is in comparison to what Jesus was doing with his disciples as they grew in their understanding of who Jesus really is. That's what Jesus does with us as well. Jesus teaches us about persistence in prayer. He's touching our lives. He's touching the lives of others through us. He tells us not to give up when we've reached out the first time and we still can't see clearly. I don't know if it's helpful to you, but for me, I find it really useful when I can look at the key points. And what I've done is I've looked at the points from this passage, and I've put them against the four letters of the word pray. P stands for purposeful or intentional. R, real. A, all senses engaged. And Y, yearning for his will. And like Andrew said earlier, we're amongst friends. And I thought this morning, as we continue to talk about praying and praying for others, why not we give it a go this morning? And for those of you who haven't done this before, if we do it now, then next time will not be the first time. So I'm going to ask Andrew to come up and give me a hand. We're going to demonstrate a simple prayer. The key is keep it simple and be specific. I don't know what Andrew's going to ask for prayer for, but we'll see. And after Andrew and I have done that, I'd like to encourage you to turn to someone next to you. A short prayer. We don't have to go into theology, but pray one for the other so that we can experience what our God is talking to us about today. Thank you, Andrew.
That's all right.
Is there anything in particular I could pray for you today?
You know, it'd be great to pray that I get a good couple of nights rest. And even more so for my wife.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lovely to see little Elizabeth here today.
I think she was joining in with your talk.
Are you okay if I place my hand on your shoulder?
Go for it.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Andrew. And Father, we thank you for the blessing of a little baby, for him and Susie. Father, just as he takes care of Elizabeth and he fathers her, we thank you that You are his heavenly Father, and you are looking after him. And you are so practical, Lord. We pray, Father, that you will grant both Andrew and Susie a few nights of good sleep. Father, that you'll help them to get the routine in terms of taking turns. And Father, we pray that you'll bless them with joy and with sleep, and you'll rest their minds and their bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.